Our gospel reading today comes from Luke chapter 16. Listen now for the word of God. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking my position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people will welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first one, 'How much do you owe?' 100 jugs of oil. And he said, 'Well, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'How much do you owe?' 100 containers of wheat. Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it's gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful in very much, and whosoever dishonest in very little is dishonest in much. If then you've not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? And if you've not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Holy God, your Spirit moves through the words of Scripture to bring them to life and to resonate their truth. Now move through us so that the words of our mouths and meditations of our hearts are acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the questions we ask people when we ordain them as deacons or elders or ministers is, will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? It's a profoundly challenging question. All the other questions we ask are about church loyalty and church discipline. And then these peculiar words are spoken. Even though I knew it was coming, it caught me blindsided. I was dumbfounded. With God's help, I finally said. Apparently, not the correct answer. The moderator stood there silently, then began to tap her foot. Then I said, "I will." It's a broad question by its very nature. The question eludes specificity. No one can tell you what it means to serve with energy and intelligence. Imagination and love is going to look different to every person. We can show you examples, but we cannot actually break it down into bullet points and criteria. Perhaps if someone wanted a more detailed answer to that question, we could open our Bibles to Luke 16 and read the parable of the shrewd manager. Maybe this parable is Jesus showing us how it might look like to serve God's people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. What? You might say, this parable? Because this story sounds too much like bankers trading dividends on mortgage securities. This parable sounds too much like debts collection agents who call your house again and again and again. This story sounds too much like backroom deals in Washington trying to secure votes and dollars at any cost. How could this have anything to do with what God wants for the world? And you may have a point. If you're looking to a moral for this story, there may not be one. The church, including the four different interpretations that Luke includes about this parable at the end, has tried our best to make these stories fit neatly into our understanding of God. But parables intend to stretch us. That's why Jesus taught in them. You know, this parable is told right after some more famous parables, like the parable of the lost sheep or the prodigal son. Then there's a shift in Luke, and Jesus no longer is speaking to his opponents, but Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Jesus is speaking this parable to people who want to engage the world with God's mercy and forgiveness. One of my favorite preachers, Tom Long, preached on this parable to a graduating class of seminary students at Columbia Seminary in 2006. It was an odd choice, he conceded. He said, "There are people out there in the culture who get up every morning, scheming for a buck, focusing every ounce of energy on feathering their nests, working in overdrive to save themselves and to scramble to the top of the heap. I wish God's people," Jesus says, "would be just as focused and energetic for the beloved community." And then Tom returns to that peculiar question. Will you seek to serve the people with energy and intelligence and imagination and love? And then he interprets that question. He says, "I take that question to mean, roughly translated, look, Jack Welch got up every morning of his career, focusing all of his energy, imagination, intelligence, and passion for the bottom line of General Electric. Donald Rumsfeld gets up every morning focusing all of his energy, imagination, intelligence, and passion on making war. How dare the people of God do any less for the things of God? Will you get up every morning focusing all of your energy, imagination, intelligence, and passion on the ways of peace, the paths of justice, the building up of the body of Christ, and the hope of the gospel?" Is this parable Jesus' way of saying, "I wish God's people would be just as focused and energetic for God's kingdom in the world"? There's a temptation when we read parables to make God a character all the time in every story. You know, in the parable of the prodigal son, you know, we want to make the father in that story to equal God. Or in the parable of the lost sheep, we want the shepherd to be Jesus. And as we've been reading these parables this month, I've been trying to help us resist that temptation. Parables were told to give Jesus' audience an image or a feeling. And when we read parables, we are invited to ask what impact this story is making on an audience. And I don't think this parable would make much sense if we try to force God into the role of upper management. Perhaps the rich man in this story is Mammon. Perhaps it's the upper management or the ways we keep people indebted in our world. And the manager gets fired because of laziness. And then, you know, that's when he says to himself, "I'm not strong enough to dig and I'm too proud to beg. What will I do so I'm welcomed in other people's homes?" And that's when he goes to all of the clients of his former employer and ingratiates himself to them by letting them pay pennies on the dollar. He forgives them their indebtedness. The people who follow Jesus have been instructed to forgive debts. We pray, "Forgive our debts as we forgive the debts of others." And now this manager has friends. He has a place to lay his head. But he's also playing the other side as well, because he's making his former boss look generous and forgiving. When he goes back to his boss with all of the collected and reduced debts, the boss is thrilled. He's been paid off, and he's perceived as generous by all of his accounts. What does it mean to serve God's people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Can the church be a little less entwined with a system of debts? Can the church be a little more shrewd? In Matthew, Jesus is a little more explicit about this need to be shrewd. He sends out the disciples saying, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes, innocent as doves. Fred Craddock once observed that the words shrewd and clever have so commonly been associated with self-serving behavior that it's difficult to speak of a shrewd saint. I wouldn't be surprised if that phrase seemed abrasive to some of you, or perhaps an oxymoron. Fred goes on to say, the life of a disciple is one of faithful attention to the frequent and familiar tasks of each day, however small and insignificant they may seem. The one faithful in today's nickels and dimes is the one to be trusted with the big accounts. But it's easy to be indifferent towards the small obligations while quite sincerely believing oneself trustworthy in major matters. The realism of these sayings is that life consists of a series of small opportunities. Most of us will not this week christen a ship, write a book, end a war, appoint a cabinet, dine with the queen, convert a nation, or be burned at the stake. More likely, the week will present no more than a chance to give a cup of water, write a note, visit a nursing home, vote for a court commissioner, teach a children's class, share a meal, tell a child a story, go to choir practice, and feed the neighbor's cat. Were you willing to do these everyday tasks with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love for God and one another? What does it mean to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves? I'm reminded of a story of a woman who was planning to meet with two philanthropists. They knew beforehand why she was coming. She was going to build a hospice for AIDS patients. And they told one another, you know, we're not going to give her any money. You know, this really isn't our thing. So the woman came and gave her pitch. She was trying to organize, you know, the hospice and care for people to the ends of their precious lives. And she finished her appeal. And they looked at her and they said, no, we just don't have any money to give. Oh, she said, well, then let us pray. And they prayed together. And right after she said amen, she started her appeal all over again. And again, the men looked at her and said, no, we don't have any money to give. So she said, well, let us pray. And as soon as she said that, one of them jumped up out of their seats and ran for the checkbook, saying, okay, okay, let me get my checkbook. What does it mean to serve God's people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, with shrewdness? Sometimes our impression of the church is that we are a collection of nice do-gooders who overdress for an hour in the middle of the weekend. What if we were more like shrewd saints, willing to do anything, willing to wake every morning, focusing all of our energy, imagination, intelligence, and love on the ways of peace, the paths of justice, the building up of the body of Christ, and the hope of the gospel? I was hoping to end today's sermon with a collage of stories about these shrewd saints, because I know they're out there. This, like the story of the woman who persistently prayed until they pulled out the checkbook. And that was Mother Teresa, by the way. But it could just as easily be you or me. And I was hoping that these stories would stir our own energy and intelligence and imagination and love so that we too could be shrewd saints. So that our discipleship could be clever and cunning, because we know how difficult it is to speak a word of grace in a world of hurt. And I thought of all the potential ways that could go. I thought of all the exceptional, as in not the norm, Christians in Germany who housed Jews during the Holocaust, or the exceptional homes and churches along the Underground Railroad leading people to freedom. I thought of people who are working in Asheville to repurpose food and provide job training in a way that feeds all people. I thought of people who go up against all odds to create welcome and hospitality in the face of hostility. And I know those stories are out there because those stories are the gospel. But my mind just kept going back to one story. And it's a story that has, for 2,000 years, made this church squeamish. There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that there was a man squandering his property. You know the rest. Are you willing to serve God's people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?